Okay, today's reading comes from John 1, verses 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent the day with them. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated, means Peter.
About 25 years ago, what happened 25 years ago? It was the millennium, wasn't it? Do you remember all our computers are going to crash? And we had to get money out of the cash point machine in case those didn't work. One of the things that happened then was a group trying to put together something called the Doomsday Book of the Mind, which sounds a little bit apocalyptical. But what they were trying to do was to try and say, well, let's take a time capsule of life in the year 2000. And one of the things they asked a load of people was to identify some icons of England. Now, my apologies if England is not your place of birth, particularly if you're Welsh and Scottish. Please do not talk to me afterwards and tell me what the icons... You can tell me what the icons of Scotland and Wales are. But it's an interesting question. What do you think would define the very essence of being English? There's a list of 100. I've picked out a few. Coronation Street. Do you think? I don't know. Cricket. Big thumbs up from me. Yes. A cup of tea. Yeah, there we go. The English Garden, I think so. The FA Cup, nah. Fish and chips, definitely. Full English breakfast. Get in. There's a lot of food actually in this. The Hay Wain, which I think is a slightly cultural one, and Holbein's picture of Henry VIII. James Bond. Not quite sure culturally if that's acceptable anymore. Jerusalem. And I presume the hymn rather than the city. I don't know. Interesting enough, King James Bible. The Land Rover. Is that a good English thing? You're not sure, are you? The Mini. Yeah. The Mini Skirt. Oh, not sure. Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management. Anyone got a copy of that? Anna's. Excellent. You're very English. Ordnance Survey Maps. Oh, yes, very English. Pantomimes, is that an icon?
Oh, no, they are.
Oh, no, they are. Oh, yes, it is, and so forth. One that has probably disappeared since 2000, the phone box. One that's slowly disappearing, the pub. Queuing, is that an English thing?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, it is. Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding?
Yeah.
One I particularly put in for John, the Routemaster bus. That was down there. The Spitfire was also there. And SS Empire Windrush, which is interesting and important. Christianity has its own images and essences and icons. And the day of a baptism, I think it's quite helpful for us to have a think about the person, the man most closely associated with baptism. So much associated that we call him John the Baptist. And this is a lovely picture, a wood carving by Martin Schoenegger from 1475 of St. John the Baptist. And what's interesting about a lot of medieval art is that it's very symbolic. It's highly unlikely that John the Baptist in his life stood there looking a little bit like a game show host going, "You could win!" That's not what Schoenegger is trying to do. What he's doing, he's using symbols. And there's lots of good John the Baptist symbols, aren't there, of the clothes he's wearing and how he looks. But the key to this picture is what he's doing. He is pointing towards the lamb that he's holding. The lamin itself is full of imagery, of icons, like ways of describing something about Jesus. You've got there a halo behind the lamb, saying Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is divine. The lamb is lying on a book, often depicted in art with seven seals coming off it. Talk about in Revelation when they say, who can open this book with seven seals? And they're told only the Lamb of God is worthy. Or a little, an unusual thing to see a lamb, a little banner, isn't it? If you do see one with a banner, you'll have to ask your question why. But here, that is a banner of victory, reminding us, like Sam went down in the baptistry and came up again, Jesus went down in the grave and was resurrected as well. And of course, the most important point of the picture is that John is saying, don't look at me. It's all about this guy. Verse 29, as we heard from the reading, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was John's role, of one of pointing towards Jesus. And the concept of Jesus being the Lamb of God is not just in the Gospels, but also in the letters that we have in the New Testament. 1 Peter 1 says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Or Revelation 7, that glorious picture of what it will like to be with heaven. And I looked, John says, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Today we're going to focus on this image of Jesus as the Lamb and connect it with the baptism we've just seen there. And there are, John's Gospel, for his listeners, they would have seen three main significant points about Jesus being described as the Lamb of God. The first is this idea of the Lamb provided by God for Abraham, this free gift. If you know the story of Abraham, he's asked to go and sacrifice Isaac, and he goes through the whole process, praying and hoping that God will sort this out. And God does. Genesis 22. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a lamb caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The gift of Jesus is a free gift. Do you believe in free gifts? Have you ever been in one of those situations where someone says, oh, come and join this this free entry competition, you might win a car. Do you ever spend 3 minutes filling the form in? No. Neither did Kate or I, till our friends won a sports car by filling in a free form in Birmingham Bullring. They didn't need a sports car. We needed the sports car. And so when you find these things, you start to change, and it changes your behaviour. We got very excited 1 year, and it's still a slightly tender moment. But there was a competition to win a mystery machine by Scooby-Doo Mystery. You know the mystery machine? Yeah, Scooby-Doo. And we could just see ourselves. The kids were the right age. It would be great for proms, taking them to school. And we didn't win it. But we did see it 10 years later in a car park in Abu Dhabi. And we thought about stealing it, but they looked a nice family, and perhaps they're enjoying it. But Jesus is a free gift. He gave his life freely. He is the Lamb of God, that sacrifice freely given. And Sam doesn't come here because he's worthy. Sam doesn't come here because he's done certain things. Sam doesn't come here because when Isabel and I chatted him about baptism, he convinced us he was ready. We didn't say do 30 press-ups and repeat the Ten Commandments. He's here from a free gift. There is no entrance fee for the waters of baptism. There is no gate. There is no gatekeeper saying, not sure, let's have a quick check. It is a free gift. Secondly, for John's listeners, they'd remember Isaiah 53, the lamb that was led to the slaughter for the sins of God's people. Isaiah 53, you'll be very familiar with. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Jesus does this wonderful thing. He sacrificed his life that we could know God. He bore the penalty for all our wrongdoing willingly in his death. And his resurrection reminds us of his victory over death. We all need forgiveness. And the waters of baptism remind us that we can be recreated. I was saying to someone before, this is the first time, I'm very excited, I've ever been involved in baptism with an entry and an exit. It's good, isn't it? Most Baptist churches have gone, oh, it's easy to put one set of steps in. So you go in, you turn them around, and they go out again. But this is a beautiful image of how we change. Because when we receive forgiveness, we are different. Sam started that end dry. He ended up that end soaking. Because of what Jesus has done, we start off sinners and become forgiven. And the third reason that this image is helpful to John's readers is this idea of the Passover lamb. And I'm sure you know the story of how when the people of Israel were being about to leave Egypt, they were told to kill a lamb, to put the blood on the door frames, and they would be saved what was coming for the Egyptians. What's interesting with the Passover lamb is that when the Israelites arrived in Egypt, they were a family, Jacob and his sons. And they grew and they grew. What formed them into a nation was that moment, yes, of slavery, but then also of exodus. They started as family and they left as a nation and took a new land. That is part of what Jesus does for us. He joins us together. As you become baptized, you're baptized into a fellowship. This is an entry into this church. This is a way that we do it. There's a lovely church near Worcester called Pershore Baptist Church. And when they were building it, health and safety didn't exist. You know that old sort of thing. Health and safety didn't exist in the old days. And it's true, isn't it? So they had a great idea. Let's put the baptistry as a symbolic sign of how you enter the church through baptism. And so they put it in the entrance hall. Symbolically, fantastic. You cannot go into that church without going normally over the baptistry. A nightmare on baptism Sundays for the chatty ones. You know the ones who come into church talking without looking? So they have to position two people there saying, stop, the baptistry open, and they go around the side. But it's a beautiful reminder that actually we are formed into a church through our baptism. The image of the Lamb is one that helps us to remember and put some, in a sense, some flesh on the promises that Sam has made. I asked him whether he had repented of his sin, whether he would confess Jesus as his Lord, and whether he had promised to follow him in his life. These are the bedrocks of our faith and commitment. Repenting of our sins is the first step in acknowledging we need help. We can't live our perfect lives, the lives that God wants us to live, by ourselves. We need to acknowledge that we don't always do the right thing. And more than that, we often do the wrong thing. And yet, there is hope. Because when we repent, we get forgiveness. Many years ago, Kate and I lived in Nepal. And our first project was a fantastic project. The aim of us, we were training teachers, and so they put us in this remote valley in the foothills of the Himalayas. It was a 2-hour bus ride to the nearest town and a 2-hour walk. And our house we had rented out from a local family. In hindsight, we should have been a little bit wary. Our Nepali wasn't very good when we visited the house with a Nepali guy. And after we'd agreed for this room in a Nepali house, they were laughing and joking, and we sort of said, oh, What was the joke? What was so funny? Oh, it was so funny. Oh, it was so funny. Why? What happened? Well, yesterday it was really funny because there were a couple of rats in the house and there was a snake chasing them right out of that window. It was so funny. And I think we must have gone pale. And then we thought, okay, it's 1,000 rupees a month. That's a tenner. That'll do. It'll be fine. But when we got there, we did discover indeed. We were on the middle floor. And the rats like to live outside, come up through our room to the grain in the top floor. And so the first night we were there, lots of munching, lots of crunching. And so we did what any loving Christian would do, singing All Things Bright and Beautiful or Creatures Great and Small, went and bought some humane rat traps. So we'd put out this rat trap and he'd lie in bed. It was an uncomfortable time. They used to eat things and chew things. I remember waking up one morning to find teeth marks in my glasses, you know, that sort of stuff. But in the middle of the night, you'd be lying there going, and then you hear this, yeah, one. We caught 25 rats in the first month. Ooh. But what we did with them, we took our humane trap with this little rat in, and we'd leave it outside our door. And the nice boy of the house would take the rat trap away, drown the rat in the river, get rid of the body and bring us an empty for that the next night. It's a fairly horrid image and I'm not sure how humane that really is. But we needed to protect all our stuff. But there's something amazing about what Jesus does. He takes what we are and washes us and leaves us clean. He doesn't just do that once, but every time we say sorry, every time we repent, he says, okay, I forgive you. And we need to remember repentance is an important part of our lives and acknowledging that. We also need to confess Jesus as Lord. There's that wonderful picture is great because it's about pointing out this is Jesus. This is the Lamb who died and was sacrificed. We need to be aware that confession matters to us, but also to others. From the reading we heard earlier, we heard this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Andrew knew who Jesus was immediately, but didn't just keep it to himself. He wanted to share that with his family and his friends. And as we confess Jesus as Lord, we don't just do it in the silence of our hearts, but in the words we speak to others. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm involved there. It makes a difference in my life. And thirdly, we heard Sam say these words. He promised to follow him in his life. We heard earlier the reading that said, when the two disciples heard him, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. The call on our life as a Christian is to follow. To see what Jesus is doing. To see where Jesus is calling us. It might be far away in Uganda for 2 weeks with Mission Direct. It might be for many of you volunteering with Holiday Bible Club. And I am so excited about seeing how that goes. It's going to be great. They've even put me in charge of the games. Yeah! What fools. And I even saw the health and safety thing. It essentially said, mind out for the gravestones. I love that I've never seen that in a health and safety report before. But we are called to follow, to be followers. And that's what Sam has promised. He's promised not just what he's done, but to follow Jesus in his life. I love baptism services, and it's a great privilege as a minister to be involved in them. My favourite bit is hearing the testimony of how God is impacting people's lives. This may be a day that reminds you of your baptism. And if it does, remember those wonderful promises that you made then and continue to make now. To repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as Lord, and to follow him in your life. Or maybe it's a challenge to you. You've never actually gone through the waters of baptism and you're thinking, actually, I want to express my faith in this way. Or maybe you're not sure about your faith. I'd encourage you to ponder the words Sam has said about through the hard times and the good times. God was faithful. And to know that actually God loves everyone and wants to connect with everyone. if that's you and you want to learn more about faith, talk to the person maybe you came with or have a chat with, Isabel or myself, and we can help you. As we finish, go back to this picture. It's all about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what makes baptism meaningful. That's what makes baptism possible. And that's what makes our lives different. Let's pray together. John said, look, the Lamb of God. Lord, we rejoice with Sam today in his baptism. We rejoice in his promises. We rejoice in the way that you have spoken to him. In our lives too, Lord, may you make a difference. May you bring us forgiveness. May you bring us purpose. Holy Spirit, move among us. Help us to understand the wonder, the amazingness, the overarchingness, the eternalness of the love that you show us. Lord, as we rejoice in Sam's faith, we acknowledge you as the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we thank you that you love us. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Amen. Amen.